We're calling to see if we need a fifth.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Committee on Rules.
Let's see why we would.
It is 2:35 p.m., and it's June 8th, 2011. And we're going to open up a work session on House Bill 3670.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to review the measure, House Bill 3670 establishes the for-profit independent college student assistance account within the Oregon Students Assistance Fund. It allows the Oregon Students Assistance Commission to award monies in the account as the Oregon Opportunity Grant to students accepted into eligible for-profit post-secondary institutions. It authorizes OSAC to accept funds for accounts from public and private sources and defines an eligible school as a school approved to offer and confer degrees and certified by the Office of Degree Authorization as an Oregon-based for-profit independent institution. This measure has an indeterminate fiscal impact and no revenue impact statement, and there are -2 amendments to this measure, and Representative Johnson is here to speak to this.
Okay, thanks, Anna. Representative Johnson, you want to come up to speak to us about the -2s?
I may bring up some backup. Sorry.
No, you're good. Right on cue.
Didn't realize you were going so fast.
Okay. Got it. Co-Chair Olson, Co-Chair Hunt, and members of the committee, thank you. For the record, Mark Johnson, State Representative, House District 52. Thank you for this work session on House Bill 3670. In the hearing process, it became apparent that there were some things that could be cleared up via the amendment process. Hopefully you have in front of you the -2 amendments that I think address some valid concerns or valid questions that were brought up pertaining to the measure as it was originally drafted. I'm confident that the -2 amendments address those concerns. Again, we've continued to try to work with the stakeholders involved, from OSAC to the Office of Degree Authorization, as well as other members, to try to clear up any concerns they may have. I'm confident that before you have a bill that I think will accomplish what we're trying to accomplish in this bipartisan bill. Obviously, Rep. Hoyle is co-sponsoring this with me, but to simply try to provide opportunities for more students to have access to higher education. And honestly, if this state is going to be able to achieve what I think we're on the road to trying to adopt, which would be the 40-40-20 goals, we are going to need to take advantage of every educational opportunity that we possibly can. And the private career colleges are certainly a viable alternative now, and I think that they will become an even greater participant in this process in the time to come. So with that, I would turn it over to Joel, and he can walk you through the -2 amendments.
Thank you, Representative Johnson, Co-Chairs Olson and Hunt. For the record, my name is Joel Fisher. As Representative Johnson has mentioned, this has been a labor of love by many people. The -2 amendments clear up some things that were pointed out that were wrong with the original drafting of the bill. I'll just quickly walk you through them. Rep. Klim pointed out that Section 1 of the bill opened up the opportunity grant to all students, including those at for-profit students. That was not the intention of House Bill 3670, so the -2 amendments simply remove any mention to the Oregon Opportunity Grant. Nothing has changed with the original Oregon Opportunity Grant, and this bill does just create a new fund similar to the Oregon Opportunity Grant for students only at the private career schools. The Oregon Student Assistance Commission pointed out that the Office of Degree Authorization does not approve institutions. They approve specific programs. So we just changed the wording from institutions to programs so that it says that students who are attending an approved program can receive the grant. OSAC also pointed out that the original bill allowed ODA to define what an Oregon-based institution is. It is, in fact, OSAC that defines what an Oregon-based institution is, so we changed that wording from the Oregon Office of Degree Authorization to the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. And the specific wording we used was intended to allow them a lot of freedom to define what an Oregon-based institution is. Put in there that it has to be an institution with a physical campus in Oregon, which leads us into our third problem, which is that ODA does not have the statutory authority to approve online programs. The intent of this bill is to give grants to students only that are attending a physical campus here in Oregon. Online schools are an emerging technology, so we wanted to leave enough room in this bill for it to essentially not be included in the definition of Oregon-based, leave OSAC to define Oregon-based, but this is intended not to include students at online universities, some of which are developed out of state.
Very good.
Members, questions?
So it is the dash two?
This is the dash twos.
One question.
Chair Hunt.
I hate to put you on the spot. I don't think anybody's actually here from OSAC, so I'm going to ask you, is your understanding based on these amendments that this, I'm not sure OSAC is supportive of it, but at least removes the concerns that they raised in the hearing?
Correct, yeah. We worked with OSAC. I, in fact, spoke with Josette Green from OSAC just before I come up here. They were not able to be here today, and because these amendments only came out, I think, yesterday afternoon, they haven't had time to fully vet it themselves. But my interpretation of this, and this is, you know, me working very closely with them to make sure that all of their concerns are covered, which is my intention, is to make sure that all of their concerns are taken care of. And, in fact, what we had turned into Legislative Council was OSAC's concerns with the bill.
Thanks. Representative Berger?
Yes, thank you. In the amendment, this section 7920, it says there's established in the state treasury a fund separate and distinct. That is in existing law, or is that a new fund? And as the treasurer...
Yeah, this is creating a new fund.
And has the treasurer been apprised of this? Have there been conversations with the treasurer around how this new fund within the treasury?
Not to my knowledge.
Ooh. That's a problem.
As far as I know, I think have looked at the bill. They have not weighed in with us, and we haven't had any direct.
I haven't had any direct conversations
with them.
Well, the revenue chairs are looking at each other here.
Are the co-chairs of revenue struggling with this bill? Is that what I'm sensing?
Mr. Chair, I don't think struggling is the right word. I think it is. We never know exactly what the issues might be until we actually ask the treasurer's office, and I think that's the problem.
Okay. Mr. Chair, if for a number of reasons, which I'm not going to enumerate now, you will probably never get me to vote yes on this bill. Okay, so if you're holding up because of my treasury issue, that's one of other issues that I have. So do not hold up if you intend to move this based on my treasury issue, because I've got others, and I may never get there. So for your decision-making process.
Ditto, right?
Oh, yes. Representative Berger stood for me at that moment.
She sometimes
doesn't, but she did at that moment.
Okay. Very good. Representative Holby.
Thanks. I'm just trying to get these dash twos in, and it appears to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there still is the ability in the future to put public funds into this fund.
That is correct.
Thank you.
However, no obligation for that exists. And nor are there any public funds earmarked for this fund at this point in time.
Just a moment.
Certainly.
Do you want a momentary recess? Is that what we're
Go ahead and address that. If this bill started with an S, I'd be. I think we'd probably be wise to hold it over for another day. Or two. The fact that it starts with an H raises some concern. But the fact that this all has to go through the Senate Rules Committee, I think it is a legitimate question that the Revenue Committee chairs raise for you guys to initiate a conversation now with the Treasurer's Office.
Okay.
I guess my hope would be that if there is a concern, that could be dealt with in an amendment in the Senate, which then I think we would be willing to concur with if there's a need to make a change there.
Okay.
That would be my recommendation, that we proceed today. But you guys are committing on the record to pursue that issue with the Treasurer's Office.
Appreciate that.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, members, we're in a work session. Chair Hunt.
Mr. Chair, I would move the dash two amendments to House Bill 3670.
Chair Hunt moves the dash two amendments into House Bill 3670. Is there any objection? Any discussion? So
only that it improves the bill.
Right. Okay, good. So moved.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3670 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Chair Hunt moves House Bill 3670 as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
And if I could speak to that, I just want to be very clear. I actually think this is a good bill. I have no objection to this. I am going to be a tough sell on in the future. I know you've made it very clear you're going to go for public funds for this fund in the future. I just want to be completely transparent that I'm going to be a really difficult sell on actually putting public dollars into this fund next session. So I don't want my vote to be on this one to be misinterpreted next session. Anyone else?
I'll let others speak.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Representative Hunt's comments reflect my view as well, just for the record. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Yes, Representative Holby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will not be supporting this bill. I fail to understand why the for-profit private institution needs a bill to establish a fund to provide grants, and I do not support the use of public funds to support the for-profit models. I think that is a dangerous direction to go with public funds and not responsible, especially considering there's no sideboards on graduation rates or default considerations as well. So I can't support that.
Okay. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I raised this issue at the hearing, and that is that there's nothing in the bill that allows the commission to pay for expenses because it does say that all monies in the fund are continuously appropriated and shall be used to award grants. There's nothing in this enabling legislation that would allow them to collect their administrative costs, which, as we saw from the material given to us by Representative Clem, other private accounts that are set up have it carry an administrative cost that is referred to in the interested donor letter that he gave us as an exhibit. So, I mean, I've got a number of reasons for opposing the bill, but this one I think is just a hole in the bill because they'll be using public funds then to support the administration of this fund.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Berger.
Mr. Chair, I won't repeat what's been said. Representative Holby pretty much expressed my fundamental objection to this. I'm heartened to see that my colleagues agree that they would protest any public funds going into this. I would submit that there are public funds going into it. If there is a Treasury account, then public funds are expended just in maintaining and monitoring that. I see no objection to a group getting together and creating a scholarship committee around this. That is, a charitable organization could be formed to do it, and I would have no problem with it. I do not like the direction of this, and I cannot support the bill. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Who else? Okay, Amy, call the roll, please.
Representative Freeman?
Yes.
Representative Garrett?
Hi.
Representative Holby?
No.
Representative Winger?
Yes.
Representative Barnhart?
No.
Representative Berger?
No.
Co-Chair Hunt?
Hi.
Co-Chair Olson?
Hi. House Bill 3670 as amended passes. And let's see. So, Representative Johnson, you're going to care. I'm going to do it with Hoyle, too. And yeah, co-carry with Representative Hoyle.
Show Johnson first.
Yes.
That's important.
Okay, close a work session on House Bill 3670 and open a public hearing on SCR 15.
Mr. Chairman, this is SCR 15. It designates the National Honor and Remember Flag as the official honor and remember flag of Oregon.
Senator Olson.
Good.
Mr. Chairman, I would point out that on your preliminary SMS, there is a full-color picture of the flag. You'll have to look it up on the Internet to see that picture. This is in a member file, I believe.
Not a full color picture of Senator Olson.
Chair Olson, Chair Hunt, and members of the House Rules Committee, thank you very much for hearing my testimony today. For the record, my name is Alan Olson. I'm a senator from Senate District 20. As a veteran myself, I am pleased to testify on behalf of SCR 15, which designates the National Honor and Remember Flag as the official Honor and Remember Flag of Oregon. Senate Concurrent Resolution 15 is an opportunity to adopt the Honor and Remember Flag, a symbol to recognize those servicemen who have lost their lives in the service of our country. Never in American history has the United States had a specific symbol to recognize those servicemen who have died as a result of serving in the United States military. We have an opportunity to join seven other states who have already adopted the flag. By adoption of this resolution, we will also encourage Congress to adopt H.R. 546, which would make the Honor and Remember Flag a national symbol to honor our armed forces who have fallen as a result of their service. SCR 15 was supported unanimously on the floor of the Senate. I've been told by many military families that the Honor and Remember Flag brings closure to them after the loss of a loved one. Additionally, a unique feature of this flag is it is not meant to be folded. It is meant to weigh open all the time in order to expose the flame and spirit of our fallen soldiers. This is the flag, and of course there will be larger flags available, but I'd like to discuss the flag itself. The red field represents the blood spilled by brave men and women in America's military throughout our history, giving their lives so that our nation would remain free. The white field below the gold star recognizes the purity of sacrifice. There is no greater price an American can pay than to give his or her life in the service of their country. The blue star represents active service in military conflict. The symbol originated with World War I, but on this flag it signifies service in all wars from the American Revolution to present day. The gold star signifies the ultimate sacrifice of a warrior in active service who will not return home. Gold reflects the value of life that was given. The folded flag signifies the final tribute to an individual life presented to the family for their significant loss. The flame is an internal reminder of the spirit that has departed this life, yet burns on in the memory of all who knew and loved the fallen hero. The Honor and Remember flag is a tribute to the sacrifice of our military. I appreciate your consideration and respectfully ask for your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions? Representative Barnhart.
May I ask first if there are other witnesses?
There is none listed.
Okay, then I better ask these questions, if I may, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Senator, do you know who owns the rights to the flag? Is there a trademark or a copyright or something that controls this design?
I am not certain, sir.
And if I could follow up. So you don't know then either who might profit from the sale of this flag?
Well, we have an Honor and Remember organization that has a website. The flag, as you can see from the documentation I gave you, you can make donations to the flag campaign. And these flags will be presented free to those that have died.
Okay, and thank you. And Representative Freeman has just pointed out, if I may, Mr. Chair, that on the bottom of the second page of the color handout, it indicates that the copyright and trademark belong to Honor and Remember, Inc., which I assume is, in fact, it says here that it's a nonprofit approved by the IRS. So that does answer my question, and I do appreciate that. Thank you. Representative Freeman.
Anyone else? Senator Olson, I was curious, when did Congress moved this then, H.R. 546.
They have not moved it yet. They have not adopted it yet.
All right.
This bill was actually, if I may, this bill was actually brought forth last session by another senator, a cohort of mine, or is any longer in the Senate, and I was asked to carry it forward this session to see if we could get it through, and I graciously accepted. This is a wonderful flag.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Okay. I'm going to close a public hearing on SCR 15. I'm going to open a work session on SCR 15.
Mr. Chair?
I move SCR 15 to the floor with the do-adopt recommendation. Chair Hunt moves SCR 15 with the do-adopt to the House floor. Any objection? Any discussion? Amy, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Representative Winger?
Excused.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Representative Berger?
Aye.
Representative Freeman?
Aye.
Co-Chair Hunt?
Aye.
Co-Chair Olson?
Aye. SCR 15 passes, and would you be in? Okay. Representative Freeman and Kerry. We're going to close the work session on SCR 15. Thank you, Senator. And let's open up a public hearing on SB 10.
Mr. Chairman, this is Senate Bill 10. It clarifies whether provisions that reference regular legislative session of the Legislative Assembly apply to even-numbered or odd-numbered regular legislative sessions of the Legislative Assembly. It declares an emergency effective upon passage. It has no revenue impact, no fiscal impact. However, we have learned that it does have a conflict with another measure that you have passed. I'm not sure what that measure is. We understand the Legislative Council at this moment is producing a conflict amendment for your consideration.
Do you want to move it to tomorrow then?
So at this moment?
It's a Senate bill.
So it's not, they're not going to have it in the next 10 minutes?
Are they going to have it in the next 10 minutes?
About 15 minutes ago, they were hoping to have it within the next half hour. So you could recess.
I'd carry it over to tomorrow.
That's not me.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We're going to carry.
Can I ask a quick question about it that might be helpful? Is there any chance this would have us go back to just the biennial sessions that we had if we pass it?
Are you asking in hope?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I think I can answer that. The answer would be no. It has to do with, for an example, in the legislation right now, the law right now says that for pre-session filing, it has to be such and such a time deadline before the regular session. And now we have two regular sessions. The language in here would change that to the odd-numbered regular session, so it would be in a deadline on the even year. And that's an example of the type of changes that it makes. So I'm afraid it gets
some
you
lost that fight.
It gets you into that hole deeper, not out of the hole.
Right. If I could sort of follow up on that very quickly.
Yes.
I assume that this bill mostly refers to our external relationships with the governor and the other state agencies, rather, because most of what we do ourselves, we do by rule.
You'll see that yes, that's true. There are some things in here that relate to the internal operations of the legislature. For example, the emergency board provisions are in statute. There are a number of things that are in statute, but I think you're right. Most things that have to do with regular sessions are governed by the rules that each chamber adopts at the beginning of the session.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Mr. Chair, in the Revenue Committee, we're very familiar with this kind of revisions.
Okay. Members, we're going to move this bill then over to tomorrow, and I'm going to close a public hearing on Senate Bill 10. And we are adjourned.
Oh, that was quick.